whatever it may be, whatever your lot is, God in faithfulness has done that. And goodness, good. Everything He does is good. It's right. It's just. It's just the best thing for His people. And if you're not His people and you acknowledge the hand of God in it, it may be that He's doing what He's doing to you to bring you to Himself. And that'd be the best thing that ever happened to you. All right, turn with me over to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. One time the psalmist David was so put out with everybody. He got so put out and upset by the guile and the deceit and the hypocrisy and the unfaithfulness of most everyone, even some of his friends. He got so put out and so upset with people that he wrote this, "I said in my haste, all men are liars." You ever been there? Huh? Have you ever said that? I know exactly how he feels. He said, "I said in my haste, all men are liars." When you can't seem to find anyone who's altogether truthful and without guile, somebody who will be up front with you and above board and faithful and consistent as a friend or whoever. Somebody who you don't worry about abusing you or talking about you or turning upon you. You ever been to that point where you felt like everybody's a hypocrite and a liar? I've heard, and all of us have talked about other people, and we've often heard quite a bit of talk about certain people. And oftentimes I've heard differing reports concerning one thing or one person. I've heard somebody say one thing about something or someone, or somebody say another, and it's exactly the opposite. And I'm made to ask, is there anyone you can believe? Is there anybody out there telling the truth? I remember a man came to me one time in real concern. He was concerned about what the reports he was hearing about a particular preacher. And he came to me, and I believe in truth he was really wanting to know something about the man, and he was hearing conflicting reports. And he said, would you tell me what you think, what you know about this man, about the situation? Would you tell me? I said, "Well, brother, there's got to be somebody you can believe out there. There's got to be somebody who would tell you the truth, who's not in this thing with an ulterior motive or prejudiced motives against or for something or someone, but somebody who will tell you the truth when you need to know the truth. Is there anybody out there?" David said, "All men are liars." The scripture says a faithful witness will not lie. A faithful witness will not lie to you. Listen to this proverb. Listen. Proverbs 20, verse 6. It says this: "Most men will proclaim his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find it?" You understand that? In other words, most men will proclaim their own goodness. They will justify their own cause, their own rights, and so forth. But a faithful man, a man who'll be flat out honest with you, faithful to you, and tell you the truth, who can find him? Who can find him? Listen, I'll tell you where to find one. There's one. David was right. The Holy Spirit recorded that right. All men are liars. Let God be true. Every man a liar. God is faithful, the scripture says, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. The Lord is faithful, Paul said. He said, and again, He is faithful that promised. He cannot lie. Revelation 1 says this about Christ. It says this, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. Listen to this. He says, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and somebody's sitting on that horse. And he that sat upon that horse, this was his name, faithful and true. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write this down, for these words are faithful and true. Revelation 22 says this, he said unto me, these sayings are faithful. And they're true. Psalm 119, we read it. All thy commandments are faithful and true. Psalm 119, 138 says this, thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. So there is someone you can believe. And the man who will be most faithful to you is the man who will be most faithful to the faithful one, to his faithful word. There is someone you can believe. Everything he says is right. It's true. Isn't that where you want to go for answers? I do. Got any questions? Who doesn't? You got any questions? Where do you want to go for answers? I received a pamphlet in the mail yesterday from a man who was I wish I'd have brought it with me. He had a title a mile long, a clinical psychoanalyst Christian Witchabigger, D.D. Flippity D.S.Z.Y.G.B. behind his name. And he was giving me this chart to fill out concerning someone I never heard of. He said this woman was a member of this church. I never even heard her name before. I guess she'd attended here as a little girl. So I don't know who she was. And he had this pamphlet all made out, an impressive pamphlet of what all they were doing at this place. Phooey on that dude. Just phooey on that dude. He's a liar. He's a liar. Private joke, not a joke. He's a liar. God never lied. This is where you go for answers. You got any questions? You don't have any questions, you need to. Sure don't have the answers. God has all the answers up. And all he says is true, it's right, it's just, it's faithful. All he does, everything he does with his friends, his people, even with his enemies, it's true, it's right, it's just, it's faithful. It's the best thing. It's the very best thing for everybody involved. Isn't that where we need to go? Sure is. I'm going to give you four faithful sayings from the Scriptures. Four faithful sayings that God gives us from the Scriptures. And the first is found here in 1 Timothy 1. Nearly everyone in here could quote it. 1 Timothy 1, look at verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy. I tell you, folks, if you ever listen to something, you need to listen to this. This is worthy of all acceptation. In other words, this is something we need to sit up and pay attention to. This is a faithful. This is a good news. I'm about to give you some good news. I mean, God's about to give us some good news. It's going to be the best news you ever heard, provided you meet the conditions of this promise. If you're a sinner, I got some good news. I got something that's going to cheer your heart. Huh? It's a faithful saying, too. It's true. God said it. He can't lie. And it's worthy to be heard. And if you ever really get a hold of it, if it ever grips your heart, you'll hear it, and you'll never get tired of hearing it again. You'll say, tell me again. You'll come back the next Wednesday night, tell that to me again. Same thing? Yes, yeah, same thing. Again, again. Tell it. Oh, old story. I forget so soon. Tell it to me. Well, here it is. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world. Now, maybe you sat there when you heard that or read that and didn't make an impression for you. As uninterested as people may be, as unimportant as they may think this to be, this is the most glorious, mysterious, unspeakable thing that human ears have ever heard.
God
came to earth. The Son of God walked this planet. And as unbelievable and difficult it may be for some to receive this, it's one of the truest and most faithful things you'll ever hear all your life. If it's not the truest and most faithful, the Son of God walked this planet. A God whom we cannot see, a God whom we cannot hear, the God who made this planet, the God who made you, the God who made the sun, the moon, the stars, and the trees, and the skies, and the earth, and gave us everything we have, that God who can consume everything just by saying a word, just by blowing with one of his nostrils, consuming the universe, that God took on a body of a man and walked this planet, walked around. It's true. It's true. Some people say he was just another man, you know, just a martyr. But no, it's God. It's true. Now, he didn't come down here. He came down here with purpose. God came down here for a reason. See, there's a purpose for every time. Time for every purpose under heaven is a reason. And the Son of God came down here in the fullness of time. It says he was made of woman, born of a woman, made under the law, to do something. He didn't come down here with plan B from God Almighty, you know. God sent Moses. They say God sent Moses with the law, or God made Adam, Adam failed, and God sent Moses with the law, well, try this. And that failed, so God had plan C in it. Plan C, Christ, come down here with another plan and hope this and hope that. No, he came with an eternal. Scriptures talks about a covenant, and I smile every time I even think the word covenant, ordered in all things and sure, an agreement, an architectural blueprint for the salvation of some human beings. And Christ came down here with this in hand, this architect, this roll. You know, they roll up blueprints. You ever seen blue? All of them are rolled up. The Scriptures talks about the Word as being a roll. It's an architectural blueprint in the hands of our great Savior who came down to this earth and said, and opened it up. Everything we read there in Psalm 119 was the Lord Jesus Christ talking. He said, I've kept your precepts. Make me strong in your Word. And he referred to it. The whole time he was down, he said, see, I've got to do this because it is written. Now, what have I got to do? What have I got to say? Every word, every step, what have I got to do? It says over here that I'm supposed to do this. Now I'm going to take another step. Now I'm supposed to do this. To fulfill all righteousness for us. He came down here not to try to do anything, but to get a job done. Get a job done. Do a job. Now, he didn't come to make salvation possible. Now, listen to me. Listen to me. He didn't come to make salvation possible. Now, this is a faithful saying. Will you listen to me? You a sinner? I ain't just stating doctrine here. I'm going to give you some hope and some comfort and some peace. He didn't come down here just to make it possible for you to get to heaven. He came down here to make absolutely certain you'd be there. Now, if somebody before this message is over doesn't shout, there's something wrong here. He didn't come down here to make salvation possible. He did not come down here to show men and women how to live. He came down here for dead, rotten, stinking sinners to make them live. Open their eyes. Open their ears. And it's true beyond a shadow of a doubt. The Son of God came. And he came with express orders from God Almighty. There's a people down there that I have chosen. I have loved. Who is it? How do I know I'm one of the elect? Call on God, you're one of the elect. Don't worry about that. Leave that with God, okay? I don't know if I'm one of the elect. Do you need Christ? Do you see your need of the gospel? Do you believe there's a holy God? Call on Him. You're one of the elect. You're one of the elect. And Christ came down here for these elect, chosen people. He chose from the foundation world. I don't apologize for that. That's glory to God. It glorifies His sovereignty, His wisdom, His mercy, His grace, His love. Every attribute of His character is glorified with His eternal election. Because if He hadn't chosen somebody, nobody would have chosen Him. But thank God He chose a people as the sands of the seashore and as the stars of the sky. And He chose those people and sent Christ down here to live for them. You say, I just can't live right. No, you can't live right. You never will live right. Not righteous like God required, will we? I just can't be what I want to be. You never will. Christ did. He can. He will. He did. He was right. Why? He didn't have to come down here to prove anything, did he? He come down here, well, let me show you how it's done. So y'all, no, he didn't have to do that. He did it for some sinners. He did it for some sinners. Now, you need this. We got a holy God we want to face someday, a God who can see right through us, who can smell the smell of sin. He said, you're going to have to smell good. You're going to have to look good. I can see right through. Your heart's even going to have to be right. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, who's going to stand before this holy God? Those that stand in Christ. And Christ stood on this earth and said, come unto me. This is a faithful saying. Christ came and said, you come to me. This is good news. This is the most faithful thing you'll ever hear. This is faithful to your soul. This is faithful to your life. It's faithful to your family. Commit your family to Him. Your children, son, look to Christ. Daughter, trust Christ. Seek the Lord, son, He'll save you. Daughter, it's true. God came. He came to establish a righteousness. He came down to shed His blood. If you went to hell right now, if I went to hell right now, we'd get exactly what we deserve. We'd go to hell if God were to punish us according to what we deserve, since we've been sitting here this morning. An eternity in hell would not be enough. It wouldn't satisfy. That's the reason it took the Son of God Himself 6 hours of excruciating pain and agony under the very full force of God Almighty's wrath to pay for these sins of you and I. And He shed His blood. You haven't yet resisted unto blood striving against sin. Thank God He did. And He shed that blood. He shed that blood as a substitute. He was a lamb. God slit His own Son's throat and poured the blood out and offered the blood before the Lord. And God says, when I see the blood, there'll be no condemnation. I know this is a bloody, old-fashioned religion, but without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And God says, I see the blood. I'll pass over you. Whose blood? My blood? You can't shed enough of it. Christ's blood is sufficient. It's effectual. And He shed it for sinners. All those that just need it. Lord, I need the blood. I'm black. Would you wash me in that crimson tide? That I may be whiter than snow. Come now, God says. Let's reason together. Your sins are scarlet, aren't they? You're a dyed-in-the-wool sinner, aren't you? Scarlet. Well, though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. I'll make it appear like they've never had any. Man, I need that. Well, this is the faithful saying. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. And He came and He lived and He died. And He saved. He did it. Can't emphasize this strongly enough, can we? He did it. And He ever lives to make intercession. It's a faithful saying. He ever lives to make intercession for His people. He's praying for you, Peter. Thomas, doubting Thomas, where are you? Where are you? I see you. Peter, you denied the Lord, didn't you? He worthless, no good. Ungrateful wretch. Look at how He took care of you. Peter, where are you? go tell Peter, keep coming back. It's a faithful saying. He's faithful. You see, we're not faithful. Nothing faithful about us. Full of faith. He's faithful. It's faithful, trustworthy, dependable. One you can hang your eternal destiny on. Christ came in the world to save sinners. Sinner. Not righteous. Not righteous. It doesn't say anything in the word about in the scriptures about you being, if you'll be a good person, God will save you. No. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say anywhere in the scriptures. Now, if you'll just quit this and quit that and start doing this and start doing that, God will pay attention to you. No. Doesn't say anything about your morality. This is a good thing here. I've got some good news for you. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Ain't none that doeth good, no, not one. None righteous, no, not one, including the preacher. I'm going to preach to myself. Seth? Seriously, I need this. Not the righteous. I ain't righteous. My thought this morning, who would like to stand up? Is anybody willing to stand up here this morning and say, and reveal your thoughts to this church? Anybody? Neither is the preacher. That's the reason I stand in him. I got to stand behind Christ. I'm going to stand behind Christ. You better believe it. I'm going to hang on to his, not his apron string, but his robe of righteousness. Till the day I die, until the day I stand in God's presence. God, he's going to have to stand in front of me. Right in front, between me and the Holy God, isn't it? Until the day that I'm changed, until this corruption puts on incorruption, until this mortality puts on immortality, until Christ says it's okay to come out in the open now. Huh? I'm going to have to hide until Christ changes me completely, makes him me like he is, as he is, perfect in thought, word, and deed, and he says it's okay, you can come out now. God can look at you now. But until then, we've got to be up under his. You kids, when you were kids, you ever get under your mama's apron or skirt? Hannah used to like to do it. Get under her mama's dress, you know. She'd wear this long, flowing robe, bathrobe, and she'd be under there, and you couldn't see her. She'd walk around. That's where we have to be, in Christ. You know what? God can't see us. This is faithful saying. It's good news. This is not, Christ didn't come down here to save godly people. Do you know that? Did it say that in Romans 5, Terry? That Christ died for the godly? Who did he die for? Ungodly. Is that you? In other words, you don't seem much like God. You don't seem much like Christ. You don't seem very religious. I just ain't a good Christian. Where does it say God came to save good Christians? Huh? I'm not being sacrilegious here. Am I? I'm telling some good news to sinners. God will make you a good Christian, but you won't think you're a good Christian. Others will think you're a pretty good Christian, but you won't think you're a good Christian. You think you're a bad Christian. You'll wonder if you're a Christian at all. But that's who Christ came to make a Christian. That's who he came to save. Not the godly, but the ungodly. Not self-helpers. If you'll just try your best, God will help. If you'll give up, God will help you. That's what. God doesn't help the helpers, those that try their best. He helps the helpless. That's the thing people need to do more than anything. Give up. Cry uncle. That's what he was doing with old Jacob, didn't he? This is a faithful saying. Now, listen to me now. Listen. Now, you were a sinner when God found you. You didn't give a flip about God Almighty. If you're a believer, and God found you and called you by his grace and revealed the gospel to you, you didn't give a flip about God. You weren't seeking God. Henry Sawyer, were you seeking the Lord? Well, I don't know about you. You're shaking your head, no, you weren't. And if everybody's honest here, they'd say, no, I wasn't. I wasn't looking for God. I was looking for Christ. I was 18, 19 years old. This was the most ridiculous, foolish. This was old-fashioned, square, in the language of my generation, uncool. I was too cool for this. That ain't groovy. You know, I used to say that, groovy. That ain't groovy. That's uncool. That's stupid. That's old-fashioned. Well, I'm smart. I sit on my roof cross-legged and gaze at my navel, you know. I've learned wisdom. I've gone into Hinduism. And I've taken this and that and the other to enlighten me, to make me stupid. See, I've learned wisdom. Had not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? In time when God called me by His grace, I wasn't looking for Him. I wasn't calling on Him. Thank God He called me. And He said, now straighten up, boy. Straighten up and listen up here. You don't know nothing. You are nothing. You can do nothing. You're a nobody from nowhere. And that's where you're going. You're going to hell. That's where you're going. And you're going to kill yourself so fast if I don't save you. And thank God He did. He did. Not self-helpers. Now, don't get me wrong. Those that God, they're seeking the Lord, but not until He first seeks them. Ain't nobody seeking the Lord whom the Lord hadn't first sought. That way God gets all the glory. Said, you can't say, I decided nothing. Can't say, I decided to accept Jesus. I decided to seek the Lord. I went to church and I made my decision. You can't say that. God won't have it. He'll not share His glory with another. What you'll say before God is I decided to go to hell. I decided not to accept Jesus. I decided not to let Him into my heart. And God says, well, I've decided that you will. It's a faithful saying. He came down here to save. Am I going to get to the other three? Man, how could you? This is a faithful saying. Worthy of all acceptation. Why is it worthy of all acceptation? Because all are sinners. Whether we know it or need it or not, we need this. We need this. It's a faithful saying. You were a sinner when God found you. When you were born, you have lived a sinful life all of your life. You'll be a sinner until the day you die. Now, this is good news. This is faithful saying. Christ came down to save sinners. Present tense. Past, present, and future tense. Sinners. I have been, I am now, and I will be a sinner. Do you need that? Huh? I'm being faithful to you this morning. I've got some good news for anybody that needs it. So don't despair because you're a sinner. Christ came to save sinners. Oh, Scott, nobody ever heard that message will ever forget it. He said you can't. He said you must fit the character described in the promise to have the promise. In other words, the Scriptures makes a promise to somebody. You've got to fit the character described in the promise. All right, here's the promise. Christ came down here to save. Who did He come here to save? Sinners. Sinner. Don't despair. And that's the reason Scott said, go ahead and call me a sinner. Convince me of it. You're a dirty, low-down, no good. Yeah, keep it coming. I'm not making light of this. I'm just telling you where there's hope. You're no good. You've sinned against God. You've lived an unfruitful life. You haven't glorified God. You haven't done any good. You're unrighteous. God ought to send you to hell. That's right. But you know what it says right here? That's the kind He came to save. But go ahead and call me a sinner. And this is a faithful saying. Christ came to save sinners. And don't quit because don't despair of your... No, let me get this right. Despair of yourself. You say, I just despair of myself. You ought to. We ought to. You'll never find anything good in it. Look inside. You'll never find anything but blackness, right? So I just despair of myself. You ought to. But you should never despair of Christ. Never. People. Oh, William J., I've told you this time and again. Maybe somebody will hear it for the first time. John Newton was sitting in his study one day. John Newton. You know the story of John Newton. He was a slave trader. Ain't nobody in here who sinned half of what John... Blasphemous, vile, slave trade, committing other human beings. Paul the Apostle said, I'm the chief. That's what he said in the next verse. I put people to death because they believed the truth. But John Newton was a slave trader now, treating men and women and children like animals and selling them. for his own profit. Vile, blasphemous sailor, rum-drinking, cussing, cursing slave trader. And the Lord saved him. And one day he was sitting in his study, pastor of a church, sitting in his study, and a man named William J. came running in and said, "Brother Newton, good news." He said, "Good news. You know that God saved old Bill Smith of Bath? Did you know that God saved him? That old wine, old no good, you know that God saved him?" He said, "Brother Newton," he said, "I'll never despair of God saving anybody now that he saved old Bill Smith." Brother Newton said, "Brother Jay, since God saved me, I'll never despair of anybody being saved." Christ came to save sinners. Despair of yourself. You're altogether despicable and despairable, if that's a word. But don't despair of Christ. He will save to the what? Uttermost them to come unto God by him. What is it to come to Christ? Come to Christ, here's Scott again, wise coal mine wisdom. Come to Christ, don't move a muscle. Don't go through this and that. Don't come down here so people can see you cry. Sit right there in the pew and say, "Christ, here I come. I need you. Right now. I need you." Don't. Who would have you? The world knows you're a hypocrite. You know you're a hypocrite. No good. Who's going to have me? Have me? Huh? Who would have you? There's only one. There's only one who is eternally long-suffering and receives no good, despicable people. Christ. He's the only one. He's the only one that will keep putting up with us. He's a faithful Savior. He came to save sinners. Now, you tack that on your wall, that saying, and you refer to it every now and then. It's faithful. It's faithful. And I ought to quit, but I'm not. Look at this next one here. Number 2. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Here's another faithful saying. I'll give you this one, then I'll quit. And pick up another time. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Here's another faithful saying. 1 Timothy 4. Look at verse 8. Now Paul, I'll give you this in a minute. Paul had been denouncing all the lies and the heresies that had been taught by the religious leaders of his day. All through this fourth chapter, 1 Timothy 4, Paul was denouncing these fellows he calls seducing spirits. You see that in verse 1? He says these preachers, all they are is seducing spirits, trying to seduce you out of your money, trying to seduce you maybe out of your wife. Or something. Seducing spirits is what they are. No good, wicked, vile, womanizing, greedy, covetous dogs. That's what the scriptures call them. That's what one old learned fellow said DD stands for. That's what it said, stands for. Dead dog. Isaiah, I forget which chapter it is, says they're dumb dogs. Dumb dogs, that's what it is. Dumb dogs that cannot bark. Lying, loving to sleep and slumber. What DD stands for, most of them. Dumb dog. You can quote me on that. Dumb dog. He says that these dumb dogs, these seducing spirits, and their teachings, their doctrines of devils, he calls them. Doctrines of devils. And they were teaching back then, as they do now, celibacy,
abstinence from certain meats and drinks. In other words, touch not, taste not, and handle not. And they were saying that sin was in these things. Right? And if you'll just avoid these things and live an outwardly moral life and be a good citizen, moral, keep the Ten Commandments and be blameless concerning the law and go through the outward form and so forth, God will accept you. Paul says in verse 7, he says, you refuse that. You refuse that. That's not faithful to you. That'll damn you. Because the Scripture says, cursed. Says you'll be under the curse. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. Doesn't it? All things. That means everything you don't even know about. These Sabbatarians, these people that insist upon living by the law, it's you've got to cross every I and dot every T, every jot and every tittle of the law, right? Or God won't accept us. Right? He won't accept it. And Paul said, these fellows are lying to you. They're lying to you. That you exercise your body. Verse 7. Refuse profane and old wives' fables. That's what they are. Some old pious, self-righteous grandmother sitting there reading her good Bible, you know, her family Bible that her mama gave her and her mama's mama gave her mama. And she's sitting there, you know, with her hair up in a bun and her sleeves down to her and God hating in her heart, you know, sovereign, hating a sovereign God in her heart. And she's sitting there reading with a smile on her face. And she reads something and takes it totally out of context and then comes and sits up and say, cleanliness next to godliness. God helps those that help themselves. Or if you'll just live right, God will love you, you know. Well, that's what my mama said. And my mom, that's an old wives' fable is what that is. Now, if you live as holy as God Almighty, He'll accept you. That ain't no wives' fable. That's God's Word. And exercise thyself, you know, exercise your body. If you quit your drinking, your smoking, and all that, I'm not saying it's drinking and smoking is good. You know I'm not saying that. Smoking will maybe give you cancer. Drinking will give you cirrhosis of the liver and may kill you too. Overeating will too. Let's hear somebody talk about gluttony. Let's hear somebody get up and denounce those sort of things. But they'll get up and tell you, if you just do all this, do this and do that, and not do this and do that, you're all right. You're sure for heaven as if you're already there. Paul says you refuse that. You refuse that. He said, that's not faithful. That's not true to God's Word. It's not faithful to my heart and soul. He says, exercise yourself unto godliness. Verse 8, bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Now, I've got to give you this. What is godliness? What is godliness? Are you asking that question? Says godliness is profitable in all things and having the promise of life and life to come and so forth. Well, it can't be bodily exercise, can it? In other words, it can't be outward. He just said that's not it, isn't it? It can't be doing or not doing anything, can it? According to this text, can it? Because in the flesh, no man can please God. Did I say that? What we do is never good enough, John, is it? Not according to God's righteous standard. Well, it can't be keeping the law. The Scripture says, by the deeds of the law, nobody will be justified before God, doesn't it? And outward form, show, and profession of religion, coming to church, that won't do it. Like I said, one time I stood up here and said, are you with me? Are you here? Somebody has left here already. You can be here and not be here. See? You can have your body here and look real good, but not be doing any good at all. You can be sitting down, like I was talking about, you can be standing up, even though you're sitting down. Like that little boy whose daddy said to him, he was standing, he said, sit down. And he wouldn't. His father said, sit down. And he wouldn't. He said, son, you better sit down. And he sat down. And the boy said, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. Now, that's not good, kids. I'd make it so that kid could never sit down. He said that to me. Or he wished he could sit down. But that's the way it is, isn't it? Bodily exercise profiteth little, coming before God with all our this and that. You know, that doesn't profit any. But an inward, vital principle of godliness, or that is a relationship with God Almighty. Godliness is this. Let me ask you, just see if you've got this, all right? See if you've got this godliness. You've got to have it. It's a faithful saying. Godliness is a Godward change of mind. A Godward change of mind. In other words, all you used to care about and think about, like an old pig, is slopping in the wallering in the slop. How do you say it, you old pig farmers, Henry? Wallering in the slop. It's all you used to think about. This world, you know, grubbling around, grubbling. Look how we grub. It's change, man. Well, all of a sudden he looks up. He starts thinking about God, a woman. You didn't used to do that before, did you? You never gave God a thought. Wallering in the mud and the blood and the beard. You never gave God a thought. What made the change? It's this vital principle of godliness God is putting in, who began this work, and he'll continue. It's thoughts of God where once you never had any. Henry, I'll admit, but there were times I went a long time without it. My conscience never pricked me. Nothing I ever did bothered me. Were you that way? It didn't bother you. Desire, it's a man or a woman or a young person having desires for God once they didn't have any. Having an interest in things of God where once they didn't have any. Having a love for the gospel where once it was foolishness to them. Having a love for the worship of God, wanting to worship God. You want to come here? Do you get anything out of this? Huh? Huh? That's good. That's a good sign. Sign of godliness within. You weren't that way before, were you? Worship the people of God. To these old square old fuddy-duddies. These old fuddy-duddies, you know. Who? I'd have never hung out with a 60-year-old man, Henry. Or 70, 50. I wouldn't have. When I was 18, 19, I wouldn't have hung out with you. Why should I want to? We didn't have anything in common. Now there's nobody I'd rather hang out with. I find very few men my age that I want to hang around with. Only those that love my Lord. Who made the change? Where'd that come from? That's a vital principle of godliness that's put within. A desire and an effort. Now, it's not without effort. It's not without exercise, actually. A desire and an effort to be like Christ. Do you desire to be like Christ? Huh? Do you make some attempt at it? Now, it's not good enough. I grant you that. It's not good enough. You're not making a half-hearted attempt at it. I'm not. But do we want to be, and do we try it all, huh? John, have you tried to curb your temper when somebody pulls out in front of you? We were talking about that the other night. John said, I've been praying about this thing for years. I seem to control it, but when somebody pulls out in front of me in the car, you try, though, don't you, buddy? Before, you didn't try. You didn't try. And it's out of love and gratitude. It's not because you feel like, do you do it? Well, I'm supposed to be this way, so I'll do it. No, you want to. Huh? Do you see this? Is that within you? That ain't much, is it? But it's the workings of God Almighty within. That gives this old, that's faithful saying. That's good news to me. I don't find much good about me, but the work of God in me. I do feel something of those workings within me. That's not looking to yourself. That's looking to what Christ, that's just examining yourself to see whether or not you have these interests or not. And it's profitable unto all things. It'll regulate your life. It'll be health.
and to your body and welfare to your soul. It'll keep you from going where you ought not to go. That's what he's saying here. Godliness is profitable in all things, having promise of this life. In other words, David said, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand. It'll not come nigh thee. Like I've been saying about this AIDS thing, count on it, people. Count on it. Psalm 116 says it'll not come nigh you. Godliness is profitable in all things, having promise of this life. Ain't never got people going to get AIDS. Count on it. Be faithful to your wife and practice, don't practice sex outside of marriage. Find you somebody that's true and faithful. You ain't going to get it. Why don't we start believing God, huh? His word says it's promise of this life. You're not going to get it. And the only thing you will get, if you do get sick, now listen to me. I can't promise every believer complete health. You may get cancer. You may die. But that's been some of those glorious testimonies to God of people dying of cancer. I can't promise any believer complete health, but I can promise this, that the sickness won't be unto eternal death, and it'll be for your good. You may have to have your knee operated on 5 more times, but it's going to be for your good. Count on it. You say, why? Because God's word says it. We read it in Psalm 119, didn't we? In thy faithfulness thou hast afflicted me. Not the surgeon. God did it. Right? He can't do wrong. He's too good to do anything wrong. You may, and everything's going to be for his glory. Count on it. He's going to get glory out of it. Lazarus was sick, wasn't it? Timothy stayed sick. Epaphras, Paul, yeah, Paul was sick. Brainerd, Spurgeon, McShane, Montgomery, Nybert, keep going. God's choice people get bad sick. Get bad sick. But there's a promise of a consolation after that. And life, which is to come, it's the best thing God could do to wean us from this world. The promise is to all sinners who come to God by Christ, confessing their sins, repenting, calling on Christ for mercy and grace and salvation from the heart now, from the heart. And this is the faithful saying. He'll give you eternal life. Come to Him. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. Of whom I am the chief, Paul said. Came to save sinners. And if you're a sinner, you come to God, He'll save you. Count on it. His word is settled forever. That's written. You know that verse, 1 Timothy 1:15, is written in the portals of heaven with a pen of iron and a rock? Huh? Ain't nobody can get to it and change it. And you know everybody that comes to Him's got their name written in a roll, it's got seals on it. And I don't care what Jimmy Swaggart says. You can't take yourself out of it. I beg to differ. God says none will pluck them out of His hand. No man. Who shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? Nobody. Not even your sins. Boy, ain't that good news. That is good news. And this is too a faithful saying. Don't put any stock in the outward form. Practice it. Practice it. I mean, come here. Pray, read, and all that. But don't put any stock in that, in your religion, this and that. Put all your stock, all your hopes in Christ. And this thing, determine whether or not this thing's on the inside, not just the outside. In other words, we do need to come to some conclusion of whether or not, am I playing games here or not? Or am I really seeking the Lord? Do I need Christ? This gospel sweet to me or not? Lord, decide this doubtful case for me. Am I yours or am I not? Decide it and begin today. Okay, I hope that was of some help to you. Stand with me and I'll dismiss in prayer.